Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I'm sitting in today as host because Mr. Tucker is out today. I am in with Bobby Flounders. How you doing, Bob?
I'm great. I'm great, Jimmy.
And we've got Andy Shea back. Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you, Jim.
I think, is it a coincidence that Ross was in last week and you took off and now you're in this week and Ross doesn't want, is there a problem?
He just could.
Is there a problem between these two?
He couldn't handle my post vacation aggressiveness.
I just wanted to try and nip it in the bud.
I would have been going
out. Getting close to the start of the season, and we can't have you two continually fighting.
Well, I'm just going to say, Bob, I do not believe in coincidences.
Yeah. All right. We're just going to keep an eye on this as the summer unfurls.
Gotcha. All right, then, gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we have on tap for our hour of Penn State talk. With Ross out, of course, that means we'll do things just a little bit different. We're still going to do our news and notes in quarter number one. And in quarter number three, of course, it becomes Ask Bob and Andy. In quarter number two, what we're going to do is we're going to give Bob and Andy the keys to the 2019 Nittany Lions. If you were there with James Franklin and he's going to listen to what you tell him, what advice would you be giving? Bob, has he already done that with you?
We have a lot of talks, and he usually doesn't. No, I'm just kidding. He does not. James is it's a good topic for a segment because he, like most head coaches, he's very much a CEO, and I think there are very few people that he trusts, and I'm sure he listens to some of them, but at the end of the day, he's going to do things his way.
You mean he,
as evidenced by the lack of fullback at Penn State. I'm just kidding about that part, but he had fun with that a couple years ago. But yeah, I think it's a really good concept for a segment.
Well, we're going to get that into that in quarter number two. And then in quarter number four, I know there's a lot of player movement going on. One of our favorite topics is always the transfer portal, and now we have all the decommits. I want to talk about that in a more general sense, not just specific to Penn State, and talk about, are those things good for the college game or not? All right, let's move along, though, to our news and notes. Let's start with this. I know in Nittany Nation there's been a bit of anxiety with some decommits, some recruiting of three stars, and we'll get into that momentarily, but we had a recent commit, Enzo Jennings. He's listed as an athlete, a four-star athlete, and not only that, but he's from Michigan. And by the way, I say athlete, he's probably going to be a defensive back for Penn State. Does this kind of alleviate some of our concerns here, guys?
I mean, you knew earlier when they lost some players, they essentially had to come up with a plan B. Maybe it's a plan 1A, but I'm sure that James is real big on lists and stuff, and I'm sure these were guys that they liked all along, but there was no room at the inn. There's been a lot of debate about what's going on with their recruiting and why is this happening and is this just a isolated incident? And for me, the more I think about it, the issue for me isn't that a team like Ohio State is beating Penn State this year in recruiting.
Right.
The issue for me, and I don't think it's going to go away, is that Ohio State beat Penn State on the field the last couple of years in games that Penn State absolutely had control of at one point and could have easily won. They had so much momentum coming out of the 2016 season with some very talented players on the field, and they couldn't convert that momentum into more seasons like 2012, the last 2 years. And you cannot tell me that there has not been a hangover from that. And I think all of this is intertwined with that. And I don't think that it will change for Penn State until they can start to win some of these games against the teams they have to beat. The number is going to keep coming up. It's 3-12. They are against Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. Now, I know that they had a great year in 2016, and they got all of them, except for Michigan. And they made amends against Michigan in a big way in 2017. But it all goes together. It all goes together, and I think kids look at that. I think Julian Fleming looked at that, and I do think that they're, in my mind, that some of the kids that have decommitted said, well, if they can't keep the top player in the state, then what should I be maybe taking a longer look at this commitment? I think that is the issue that really needs to be fixed, addressed, solved. I don't think it's going to change a lot until you see more success on the field, and it can happen. But when Penn State has these teams in their sights with their foot on their throats, they absolutely have to beat them on the field. And I think you will see a bump from that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. This doesn't have to do with James's recruiting the university. It doesn't have anything necessarily to do with the process that Penn State is using when it comes to recruiting. This is absolutely 100% related to what's happening on Saturday. And if you take the two Michigan games away, right? Because those were the games that they got blown. Yeah. They got rolled.
Sure.
Right? They were losing those football games, right? So that's the other 13 games during that tenure where they're 3-10. Those are winnable football games. They're not 50-50 in those. They're 3-10. They're not 7-3 or 4-6 or even 5-5. They're 3-10 in games where they had it was an equal opportunity for both teams to win. They're losing the toss-up games to the marquee teams, and that is what I'm thinking is having the biggest impact as it dribbles down the food chain at the bottom end of the day. What are they doing on in big games and getting themselves in positions to play for championships, be part of championship conversations, be part of the college football conversation? They're losing those football games. That's where the impact is for me, and it's that's where the decommitments are coming from.
Well, with that the case, and recruiting is momentum either way,
right?
And when you come in, and you could look at, I could cite numerous examples of other schools. New coach comes in, there's enthusiasm, you're selling hope. Then you need to win some games to keep that going. Which James Franklin had that cycle, and now this past season, 2018 was the first what you could call the little bit of the down cycle in the trajectory. Now, the question becomes, through hard work, can you overcome that? So when you see a recruiting, and gentlemen, this is our first chance to talk since last weekend when so much happened, where you had Derek Wingo, very highly regarded, out of Florida, decommit. You had four commitments, 2 4-stars, Izzet and Donton, a couple of 3-stars, and then during the week, another a Pennsylvania 3-star linebacker. In general, is the glass half full or is it half empty? And full disclosure, as you know, I get responses from people about our show. I read message boards and kind of get the pulse, and I'm hearing, you guys are way too negative, not to worry. Because they're bringing in several of these 4-stars. We're not the only school with decommits. For example, I think it's Miami has had 11 decommits.
Right.
LSU has lost decommits 5 4-stars.
Right.
Are we overreacting? I know there were some high expectations for this year. Mm-hmm. Julian Fleming, Brian Bressy, 5-star guys who are in Penn State's typical recruiting region. So is it just a bump in the road or you have some concerns?
I think that you had mentioned momentum, and that is a big word. Ross Tucker has used that word on our podcast as well. I just think that if you look to, prior to 2016 when it flipped, they got some momentum. They were in a little bit of trouble. They beat Minnesota. They find a way to beat Ohio State, and everything changed. So for me, I would lean slightly to half empty, but with the caveat that it can change in a hurry if they can get a signature win or two this year. I do think it will change the other way. I just don't think I wouldn't say I would be locked in on half empty. And I would also say that Penn State has been very good at getting kids to develop that are not necessarily five or four stars. Some of their best players during Franklin's time have been not great players like Zettel, Chase, not highly recruited players like Zettel and McSorley. I think you will not see this turn until they either beat Ohio State or Michigan this year.
Well, one of the things, do we also give the coaching staff the benefit of the doubt on these three stars? And Andy, there was one this past week, and I didn't ask you this ahead of time, but the defensive tackle from Susquehanna Township,
Fatuma Mulba. Okay. I got that from a good source.
Wonderful. Have you seen him play in high school?
Yes, I have.
An example? So this is someone you know. Is this a three-star who's underrated?
Well, he's emerging. Not underrated, he's emerging. Because he hasn't played football for that long. And he looks great in what I call underwear football. When you put the pads on him, even as a junior, it was a little looks like Tarzan plays like Jane, but he's played for such a limited period of time, his ceiling is a lot higher. In other words, he looks like a five-star and plays like a three-star right now, but that's because he doesn't have enough seat time to play like a five-star.
He's done some things physically at these camps that have really wowed the coaching staff. And I would also add that, you know, Ohio State is not in the business of inviting three-stars on campus, and they did that. He visited Ohio State, and they do like him, but he's on their board because their board, he wasn't quite high enough for them to offer them, but it had something happened to a couple guys above them on their wish list. I think they would have offered him, but I think if you put two and two together, I think the upside is really significant for this kid. But I think that Penn State sees in this guy a player that can easily grow into a four-star talent.
So because Penn State is so fastidious and James Franklin is a CEO when it comes to recruiting, when it's gone sideways on them this year, they've got what now, six commitments in the last 10 days, for example, 10 days. The thing about that sticks out to me is they had to come up with a plan B, and they're going straight to their glass ceiling, the highest potential that they see to fill in the void from the decommitments.
Okay.
That's a good board.
What I get out of this is this was an opportunity year with those five stars in the region. That would have been the best news, but I don't think it's a glass half empty because there's some three stars here. Trust the coaching staff. All right, that's it for quarter number one from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stay tuned for quarter number two.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.